And we're live, ladies and gentlemen, with Masters of the Galaxy episode 15. And this is Dirt here today because, once again, there's no Brian. I'm guessing he's either on that rocket ship to outer space, like he's been threatening for a long time to find his true people out there in the galaxy, or he had a long day at work and he's asleep. I'm not sure. It's one or the other. Pretty even odds, actually. But we do have Andrew Kay with us, as yes. usual. And we've got a new Master of the Galaxy with us tonight, a guy you might know as the Waffle Nader. He runs the Lucky Legends on Facebook. It is Aaron Johnson. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, what's happening, Dirt? Andrew, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get together and talk about this thing that we love so much, this thing that's a huge part of my life. And so just excited to be here. Appreciate you guys having me, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
All right. Now, I did mention that you do the Lucky Legends group on Facebook. Give everybody the 5-cent rundown on Lucky Legends.
Well, Lucky Legends got started. It was one of those things. There was actually another gentleman who started doing the waffles. His name is David Carbalka, and he reached out.
You got to explain waffles.
Okay.
So yeah, waffles, I have no idea what waffles are.
Waffles are a play on a dirty R word. So, you know, we don't use the raffle word, but it's waffles. So when that first got started, there was a misspell, a play on raffle. It got spelled with a W, became waffle, and we just kind of ran with it. So David had asked if he could do one in one of the other groups, started out doing a Filmation Skeletor. I jumped in, played in that one, and he set up a page, said, "Hey, guys, we're going to move this over, do our own thing, and do a page." And I reached out to him through message and said, "Hey, you know, I think it's an awesome idea, and you are giving away boxed figures and setting those up for Waffle. And so what I would like to do is I would like to do loose figures." So the idea being over the whole thing is that you can get a figure that is, you know, good priced figure, something that, you know, is fairly expensive. You can jump in at $3 or $5 or whatever the buy-in may be. And then we just spin the wheel, get the names on the wheel. We run down, and it just started growing. And we had another group that was set up secondly. His name is the Lord of Destruction Waffles. Or actually, I'm sorry, that's Carbalka, because he's Lord of Destruction Waffles. And then we've got the Most Powerful Waffles, which is with John Myslowick. So we've got the three groups. We call it the Waffle Mafia. And We do that for our group, and we got some little stickers we have made and that kind of thing. So idea being that you can jump in, you can get a classics figure. We've done classics. We do vintage. We do boxed, loose. I give away tons of literature. I'm a huge fan of the artwork, of the books, of especially minis. My life is minis. I grew up on those in the 80s, and that was big deal to me. So
sounds fun. I've never participated, but I joined the group recently, so I mean, I get raffles. I'm sure I have plenty of stuff to raffle myself, so go figure.
Yeah, the cool thing, you know, I started off, I had a pretty large loose collection. I love to open them up. So got into classics and got into waffling off some of my collection, some of my extras and things. And really, the different thing with these groups is we kind of started off with a small family and just the same folks playing and playing and playing, and we got to know each other. I've actually met some of the members in real life. So it's been a really cool thing, and just a big sense of brotherhood in all three of the groups. And so that has grown, that we've grown in. We split off a couple of other little pages that folks are doing, and that's pretty cool too. But the biggest thing is just the sense of community, the love for the property and masters and things. And I started out, threw it out there on a page, said, "Look, guys, we're going to do, you know, Masters of the Universe only. That's the only thing I care about. It's the only thing really, you know, super crazy in my life that I love." And the guys just embraced it and ran with it. And we've had a cool community, and everybody, strangely, everybody gets along very well. And, you know, it's Masters, man. It's pulled everybody together, all these different folks from different places.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and it's fun to spin the wheel. You know, that's the cool thing. We've done some crazy stuff we've done Toys for Tots, taking up money for that. And we actually had some members, David Karbolka did it with his page, and he set his up to where the members donated toys, and then we spun until everybody won something, and then all the money went to charity. So really fun deal. We normally do it 3 or 4 nights a week at the different respective pages. But the little bit of the background on why they call or why mine is called Lucky Legends. In the beginning, I was playing in the other waffles, and I mean, absolutely just mopping up. Everybody hated me. I was winning them all, and so I went on this run where I literally won like 7 or 8 waffles in a row. And people were getting really upset, and it was like, man, you're bad for business, you know. And so they started calling me Lucky, and then so I turned the page into Lucky Legends, and that's where we went from there. So,
Pretty cool.
yeah, man,
Pretty cool.
appreciate you asking.
So what originally like harnessed your interest into Masters of the Universe?
Oh, as a kid, my first memories of Masters, when I was very, very small, I was maybe 5, 4 or 5. I was born in 78, so I grew up along with the property. And my grandfather, every day when I would get home, I would go up and visit him. It was not every day, once a week, I went up and stayed with him after school. And he would have me a figure once a week set up in a location in his house, and he would have the mini comic underneath it. He saved the box art, which was really cool because he knew I was all about the art, but he would take them out and set them up and position them, like they were doing their thing. And I'd come home and see that thing and just, dive into the book. And so that love of Masters, I think, gift from my grandfather, and it's always been a huge part of my life. So yeah, that earliest memories, earliest things that I read was the mini comics. I remember getting in trouble when I was really small for calling, "You fool!" And my parents said, "Don't use that word." And I said, "But mom, it's Skeletor's talking to Beast Man. I mean, come on here." So it's always been a huge deal for me.
Fair enough. I mean, we all got into it when we were younger. He-Man was always that property in the 80s, so that totally makes sense. I'm sure a lot of people here listening would be the same way. They're all into He-Man because that was their childhood thing in some form or fashion.
Yeah, and it's one of those things I think Masters kind of has something for everybody, especially the way that it has changed over, over the course of the early minis and then the vintage and all that stuff and the stories and Filmation. And you've got space stories, you've got barbarian stories, you've got science and magic. And I just think it's a property that really, man, is timeless, just in a sense that it touches so many different things.
True story.
Right, so one thing that we talked about over Facebook Messenger this week as we were setting up this show was
Yes.
the idea that there's no one set mythos for Masters of the Universe. There are
There
so many different histories,
Correct.
so many different takes on the characters. Now, I'm not necessarily going to bring up the crossover comic, but what my question actually is do you have a favorite incarnation or a favorite version
Ooh, yeah,
of
that's a good
Master of the
question.
Universe? And both of you, this is a quiz on
I'll
both of
answer
you
it in a second. I'll go for I'll
because
let Eric
there
go
is a wrong
first.
answer, so
There
just
is a
keep
wrong
that in mind.
answer.
Awesome. So I guess I'll start out with the wrong answer. For me, I honestly mini comics. I love Alcala's artwork. I'm a huge artwork kind of person, and some of that early stuff. Really, I think it started with the box arts for me. But as far as the story, the mythos that I cut my teeth on, and we won't say, Ular, I guess, but because that's wrong answer, if you will. But I don't know, Savage He-Man, saying goodbye to the tribesman, the Green Goddess, and bestowing these weapons upon him that, will help aid him in his quest. And
The power harness.
yeah, man, I mean, it seeing that stuff hanging on, her mythic cave wall, and these are the ancient things that need to be handed down. I mean, that was such a thing to me. It just that was the story that cemented He-Man, in my mind, that's who he is.
Fair enough. That's an interesting that's an interesting thing. I think they call it Mini Eternia because it's the original, you know, version of Eternia before Filmation had their show come out.
Sure,
and
sure.
We gained Prince Adam and Tila and a bunch of characters. But no, that's a really good mythos. I think some of our listeners and some of our previous guests or you know, I guess commentators are big fans of it as well. It's really good. The minis comics were great. The first four are what you're talking about. It came with like Merman, He-Man, Skeletor, and what, Zodak maybe?
Yes.
I mean all the original eight characters, but I mean it mainly came with those. I remember like the mini comic, what is it, Battle for the Clouds, the one where it's got
Battle for the Clouds.
Yeah, the one on the front cover, it's the octopus versus He-Man. Is that the correct one?
That is Vengeance of Skeletor, I think.
Oh, that's Vengeance of Skeletor, maybe, yeah. I don't have my mini comic book in front of me, so go figure.
Hang on, we'll dig. Yeah, I think, let's see. So you said Battle in the Clouds. That's He-Man and Merman fighting on top of the Wind Raider?
Oh, that's Battle. Okay, yeah. It's one of the two, sorry, yeah. That's a good one, too. Vengeance of Skeletor, though. Which was also one of the original four. And then there was King Grayskull, which is one of the original four. And then there's the one where Skeletor is already in Castle Grayskull. Or
He-Man
Triclops.
Sword, maybe? Or, oh, okay. I got you.
Triclopses. But yeah, it's been a while since I've touched them up. I even got the mini comics book, which I read, but I guess I'm more forgetful in my older age.
I couldn't tell you how many times I've pored over these things. So it's when that book came out, you know, Dark Horse threw that thing. I mean, it was like, oh, this is the Holy Grail. I mean, this is it the collect nice. All of them.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, that same idea. And I think some of that stuff is so different in a sense of how it's portrayed. You know, it's much more savage. I love the idea of the two halves of the power sword, you know, the way that they unlock Grayskull and some of those things. It just, I don't know. To me, it just seems like a stronger storyline.
It's fun. It's definitely a fun series. Do you care if I go next, Aaron? Is that cool?
Hey, wear it out, brother.
Okay. So, man, obviously growing up with the Filmation cartoon, and the side stories that they put inside Princess of Power as they were extending the story for a couple more seasons with Hordak, I really wanted to see kind of an all-out war, like we were getting teased in the Powers of, what is it, the Powers of Eternia? What was the comic, the Powers of Time? What was it called? Man, I have to get my mini comic book, it seems like. What was the mini comic that never got completed in the vintage days? The 80s mini comic that was never completed.
Was that Powers of Grey? That was the Powers of Grayskull.
Powers of Grayskull, yes. The one where the first issue, you know, spoiler alert, He-Man goes back into the time of King Grayskull, his ancestor. And that was a really cool mini comic. And, you know, of course, it set up that whole Hordak versus Snake Man versus, you know, He-Man and the Masters. And that was a really good story. And, you know, we're going to talk about the Mike Young productions here in a little while. But in the Mike Young's production, they got up to that point and then the show was canceled, right?
Sure.
And the Powers of Grayskull comic strip got canceled. You know, it never finished the series. They never finished issues 2 and 3. So they never, we really never got as kids the completion to the story, right?
Sure.
Never. And even like the mini comics from the New Adventures kind of tried to further say that, you know, He-Man went in space, and then, you know, the animated series did the same thing, that He-Man and Skeletor continue their battle in space, but we never figured out what happens to Hordak, what happens to King Hiss. And the Mike Young productions got close, and then, of course, got canned. And then recently, we got the mini comics from Maddie Collector, as well as the comics from the Eternia War from DC. And they told a pretty good version of the story, but I feel like the Filmation story really, even with the new newspaper comic strips, still is not complete. Like, I still don't have the end to what happens between Hordak, Skeletor, King Hiss, and He-Man.
Yeah, and that to your point, I mean, that's one of those things, like, if you go back and you look at that mini comic, Powers of Grayskull, there was so much stuff that got built up right there. I mean, we got the figure in the Classics line. We got Preternia He-Man.
Yes, we did.
But the deal being, I mean, you had the dinos. You had the Three Tower playset. I mean,
yep.
That's where that stuff got started. And the thing that really gets me is right at, you know, of course, they tell us it's one of three. But when we get to the end of that comic, you have this mythical hero who shows up and he's shrouded in dark. And of course, we find out later that's Hero.
Yes.
But, I mean, as
we also get the unnamed one, right? The unnamed one's at the end of that comic as well, isn't he?
Yeah. And we just go, oh, what now? And then nothing. So,
yeah, that always irritated me. Between the mini comics and Filmation, that was my thing back in the day. The mini comics and Filmation. I mean, I read them all over and over again. I've got a set of the mini comics. I've got the book now that I haven't read since it first came out, apparently. But you know, I mean, that was the day. And then I've got so many copies of the Filmation show on DVD, it's not even funny. I've got like the original DVDs. I've got some VHS tapes. I've got the new DVDs. I got the special edition He-Man.org version. I've got them all, it seems like.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome that they just recently put it back on Netflix. I mean, it was one of those things like, you know, we just had this baby. This baby is 7 weeks old. And, you know, he has seen a great deal of He-Man in the last little bit. You know, he can't even focus on the TV, but we're doing it, you know. So that being on Netflix has been outstanding to go back through the Filmation story. And I'm actually not even completely through it yet. And you know, just remembering these things and these stories and which way they were going is just so sad that we didn't get anything else after that.
Yeah. Oh, well, what can we do?
Well,
ready for the future.
I will accept both of those answers. Neither one of you said the bios, so you're okay.
You know, the bios from at least the classic series, which I'm sure that you're talking about, how many characters needlessly died? Did y'all remember that? Like, how many characters died? Like, I'm sorry if you're, you know, a diehard, you know, Scott fan, but or Toy Guru fan, but some of his pissed me off. I mean, other people wrote some too. I'm not gonna lie. I know Val wrote some for the Power Con ones. I know that some were dedicated to other people. And then I also noticed the last year for the Collector's Choice for Maddie Collector, we hardly got any bios at all, if y'all remember. But yeah. There are some Scott bios that definitely irritated the crap out of me. Either a needless death of a character we all love and enjoy, or just they had to throw some kind of teaser in there and not ever finish the story. Like, and who is this blankety blank 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 that didn't do that? Like, or like the Black Sorcerer or the Black Wizard? I think it's the Black Wizard. Have y'all heard of him before?
No. No, that's a new one on me.
I have to Google this. Dang it!
Well, I can tell you to your point. I agree with you on that because there was a lot of things, and here's one for example that just kind of irks me. You create Vicron, okay?
Yes.
Amazing figure in his own, you know, little world, and that's cool. And his telling, you know, you've got this champion Gladiator.
Yes.
Who takes the parts and weapons. You know, he's the greatest gladiator there's ever been. And Gygor rips him in half. I mean, no.
Yeah,
no.
That's irritating. Super irritating. So it's the great Black Wizard is who it is. There's the Dark Wizard, I guess. The Great Black Wizard is his character's name. And he's in one of the mini comics, and he's talked about in the classic bios, but they don't, We never got him. We never heard much about him. He's kind of like one of those like hidden things that you get sometimes, and then they just they never gave to us. It's like the powers of Grayskull all over again. I'm like, damn it, give it to me. I mean, we got the unnamed one, even though it's Gorpo, but we don't get the Great Black Wizard. Come on.
The Great Black Wizard. It's I've got to
check. You're gonna have to look him up because he exists. I don't know why he exists, but
yes,
he exists to piss me off.
I've actually seen this before. Was this an Axel drawing?
Okay, what? Yes. They did an Axel drawing that's right next to side by side a Fangor that they showed at New York Comic Con. They showed it at Comic Con, I'm pretty sure too. But he's a character that actually is listed in the bios. Like they make mention of him. And he plays some kind of important role. And then we get an Axel drawing, awesome, but we never get anything else.
Well, interestingly enough, too, I think it's odd. Of course, he's a skull face character, but we've got, if you look at his sword, we have Skeletor's power harness. I mean, is the crossbones, the cordite. I don't know.
From my understanding, he's also listed in Skeletor's bio. He's listed as the one who saves either him or unnamed one. Of course, the unnamed one gets a lot of press up until the finally time that we got to figure out who the unnamed one was. But I think he's listed on Skeletor's bio. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to have to look that up. Continue talking, though.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I think that's interesting. I've seen that figure a couple of times, and or as far as the drawing, obviously we didn't get the figure, but very interesting. Some of the stuff with the bios. I mean, I think one of my biggest irks with it is it's the need, I think, to tie everything together. Sometimes I don't think you need to do that, and then correct. Going in and giving everybody a name, you know, here's their name, and then here's their real name, and then their name and their real name. I mean, really, you know, Blast Attack's Blast Attack, you know, to me.
Yeah.
Cobra Khan's Cobra Khan, you know.
And they're all related.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't know, but not everybody's a Gar, you know. It's, come on.
Random. Sorry, I don't know if you guys heard that, but my kids are slamming doors here. I just tried to mute my microphone before it got too loud.
I didn't hear it. We're good.
But yeah, I mean, I can remember for years people complaining about classics nonstop about how they hated the bios and they hated that these were the characters coming out and they'd get it and the shoulders were backwards or it would take 2 months to get to them and they could see that it was routed to the wrong place. And then and it was like problem after problem, after problem, after problem, after disappointment, after disappointment, after disappointment, after disappointment. And they're way too expensive and whatever. And then as soon as they would say, hey, this might happen, this might not happen next year, everybody sign up now. Then suddenly everyone's like, well, I got 4 subscriptions because I want to make sure it goes through.
Well, you know, the people, there's always going to be people complaining, and the bios were just one thing to complain about. I mean, and the reversible, the shoulders on, who was it? Roboto, or shoulders on Roboto, the shoulders on King Hiss. You know, it's easy to not even notice it. And you're right. You want your stuff to be, people were right that they want their stuff to not be, you know, messed up if they're going to pay good money for it.
Absolutely.
But it was such minor things that people have complained about. The shipping stuff, that's a whole other story. And, you know, Maddie Collector wasn't the greatest, but it did get us a lot of figures. But those bios are still something to contend with. I looked up the Great Black Wizard, and he's the least mentioned on Drago Man's bio, because apparently Drago Man is the half-human, half-dragon creation of the Great Black Wizard. And then Drago Man was shunned by Granomir and allied himself with the Free People of Eternia. But he's mentioned in other ones. I know he is. I have to look it up more, but go figure.
But, you know, just like Drago Man, dude, so we've got Torm was the youngest of dragons. So he's got to have a name. He can't just be Drago Man. So, you know, I think we had a lot of things that people kind of picked at and things that I think anytime that you release something that everybody's super passionate about, You can't make everybody happy. And for me personally, I know there are quality issues. There's always quality control issues with stuff, but
There
hey,
is.
we were getting stuff. We were getting new figures, and so that's kind of the tie-in with Super 7 is the fact that, hey man, give them a chance to see what they can do. I mean, I personally feel like it's got to be better than where we were, and we're keeping the property alive, and some of these things are coming out that we've always wanted. So,
Yeah.
minor annoyances to me.
The
Oh,
one
yeah.
thing I give a lot of credit to Super 7 for is that they're not just saying, well, this is what Mattel did, so that's what we want to do.
Right.
They are very much in the vein of, okay, well, we're going to do 3 3/4 inch figures. We're going to do 5.5 figures. We're going to do the classics figures. We're going to do muscle figures. They'll probably do Bendems. They'll probably do thumb wrestlers. They'll probably do something that comes packaged with temporary tattoos and stickers for your locker. I mean, it's like
Slime.
whatever they can do, they do it. And it doesn't seem to phase them. If something doesn't do that well, then they stop doing it and they move on to something else. But it's never like, well, this is our product and we have to be locked in exactly to this and only this.
Yeah.
It's we're going to try a little bit of everything for everybody, and the stuff that does really well, we'll keep going. And if something doesn't do well, then whatever. But I at least give them credit for saying it's more than just this is the product, and if you're a fan, you will buy it. It's we're products for everybody. We hope you buy it all, but hopefully there's something for everybody here, even if you don't like this particular thing or that particular thing.
Well,
Yeah.
I saw that kind of, sorry, saw that kind of happen with Lucky Legends. The page, outside of the waffles, the page is just a massive source of He-Man info. Things are going on in the Masters universe, and so folks are sharing all these links and all these things all the time. And I think it's awesome because it's created a little community that kind of keeps everybody on their toes and always talking about Masters. But when Super 7 did the announcement for the Toy Fair and did the reveals, I thought it was interesting to sit and watch the way that it was presented. So I threw it out there, a couple of the pictures that were from the .org, and I was like, man, really cool that they got these out here. Here's the pictures, threw them up. And the reactions to them was so different because I had some folks who, oh man, that's absolutely amazing. I can't wait. And then had some folks, well, I don't really want those, but I'm more interested in, the vintage looking figures. And then we had some folks who were, well, no, I'm actually more into the reaction figures. So it started this whole conversation of everybody talking about, there's something for everybody. And I think Super 7 has done an awesome job of doing that, of kind of touching, everybody. There's something for everybody.
There really is. I mean, for Mattel, for their own credit, or Mattie Collector, they did give us the minis, which by their own account sank. They did
Yeah,
give
but
us the
I'm the guy
giants.
who bought all those, though.
I am one too. I bought all of them, and I was really hoping to get Snake Mountain. They also made the giants, which by own their own definition yet again did not go well, and they never tried the vintage style. They never did. That always blew. But we're gonna get them from Super 7, so go figure.
Yeah, the sculpts on them, I mean, they look gorgeous, man. I mean, they really do. They look like the true vintage figures, and especially, I don't know, did we see the hero? Did the hero picture make it out there, or
I
rumor the
haven't
hero's
seen it.
coming, or
It's Hero and Eldor coming, but I think they're based on their vintage figures. Like they're literally built like they found prototypes and they're going to either sculpt them similar or cast them or what have you, but they're going to be based on the old prototypes.
gotcha. Interesting. Yep. I mean, I'm down for that. This the vintage line, I think carrying that on, and especially the She-Ra looked really cool. Of course,
Yes,
you
it
had
did.
skirt issues and whatnot, but it was still pretty cool. And I don't know. I'm pretty pumped up about all of it, man. It's just something cool that we can waffle off,
Well,
and
and I think another thing that's nice that is worth pointing out is that for a long time with classics, you had a lot of infighting between you know, people who just wanted the He-Man figures, and people were like, well, let's do She-Ra and let's do New Adventures and let's do, and there was always this sense of, well, if we do She-Ra figures, then that takes away from doing the He-Man, you know, the straight Masters of the Universe figures. If we do New Adventures, that takes away from the opportunity to have the other figures, you know? So it was always a kind of fight between them, because you want the stuff that you want, you know, and it's hard to give up some of that space for something that someone else would want. And another thing with Super 7 is it's like, there's that idea of there's something for everybody. We'll, you know, they'll try it, and it's not going to take away from anyone else's thing, you know, to try something new. Whereas Mattel had this thin budget and they had to stay within these certain restraints. Whereas Super 7's like, you know, if everybody wants a 24-inch cast of Spella, we'll make them if you'll promise to buy them, you know? I mean, whatever the weird thing is, we'll do it.
Yeah. Well, I do. The fact that they're doing those, I think, you know, sort of made to order. I think
24-inch Casper Spellas?
Yeah,
I'm
man.
I'm just kidding.
Anytime you want one. I think the fact that they're doing that, it makes it easier, I think, to offer more, because you can gauge the interest. You can see, you know, how many pre-orders come in for that thing, and then, you know, go from there. It just seems like a smarter business approach to me.
It really is. I mean, and in lots of ways, they're showing off what they can do. They're showing off in the first year. Remember, 2017 is the first year that they're going to have the full license in the classics, and they've already got something for everybody. They even got Fangor, which is just a really badass Snake Man, right? I mean, they've got I can't remember his name suddenly now, but Quake for New Adventures. They've got Hawk for those who want some Filmation style characters.
Yeah,
it's a good year. It's going to be a good year.
And you've got everybody's, you know, please give us Lodar. And,
yeah, Lodar is the one I want the most.
Yeah, man. And what I saw, Lodar definitely, but the different versions of Hawk or Delora, if you will, I just thought that was cool. And, you know, even NA, man, you got something for people that like that line. And we've got a lot of folks that, you know, really just like the Galactic Protectors, and that's cool too, you know.
It works. And we still have a whole half year of figures that haven't been shown yet too. We have to realize that we still have, what, 8 more figures to go?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the year's not even all revealed yet, and we'll see those probably at Comic-Con or Power-Con, so.
It's going to be Tug of War. Is that his name?
Tug of War?
Yeah,
from the mini comic?
Yeah, him.
I personally don't hope so. Hope for it. But hey, you know, whatever. I mean,
Pickles the Clown. Is that the clown's name from Filmation? Pickles the Clown? No, I don't know. What was the clown's name?
But I don't remember the clown.
It was one Filmation episode. I don't know.
Let's get the chef. Or is it? That's not Chef. Is it Chef? Is there a Chef character from Filmation I forget about?
Because you can see him in that Four Non's Blonde music video. They show him in the kitchen cooking while everyone's dancing out in the front room.
That's right.
Crackers the Clown.
Crackers the Clown.
Pickles, come on, Johnson.
We've got a handy viewer out there who's leaving some comments. So.
Oh, really? Oh, God.
God.
Step it up, guys. People are paying attention. All right. Well, we've done enough meandering there. Let's focus on what we were planning on talking about at some point, and that is the Mike Young Productions. We got 2 years out of Mike Young and never got that third season. So the question about season 3, I guess there are a couple things like one, where do you think the show is headed? Like what were some of the things that you think were coming? But then also, you know, did you have hopes for wanting to see something? Did you want to see, like, I don't know, Star Child? No, you didn't. But you know, was there anything you were hoping to see in season 3 that you think, you know, best case scenario, maybe they never would have done it, but it'd be your hope and dream that it would have been in there?
Andrew?
I don't have anything that I can think of right now. That's a good question, though. How about you go first, Aaron? You're the new guy.
For me, man, Hordak. Just it just kind of teases around and that kind of thing. And, you know, he appears in the sky as Evil Lyn and Marzo are doing their thing and conjuring him back in and opening the portal and that kind of thing.
Desperos or whatever. Or
just... It was so Despondos. So
Despondos, yes.
Yeah, it was just really awesome to see that. And I love the way it was portrayed in the animation. It was just amazing. You know, he's this monstrous thing in the sky that you can see the galaxies in him. And, you know, so we've opened up Despondos and called him for. So it was really cool. And I don't know, I really wanted to see him kind of fleshed out and see him out there. And where would he be? Would He-Man and Skeletor need to work together? You know, what's Hiss doing? So I don't know. Hordak for me.
I would probably agree with that. What's the snake from Snake Mountain? Is it like Serpentos?
Serpos?
Is it Serpos? Yeah. I would have liked to see more Serpos in the next season. The idea that they were going to bring Serpos to life. I would have loved to see more Hordak. They did make that episode 40 mini comic, I swear, or like it was all the storyboards from episode 40 on a PDF form. Is that correct? Do y'all remember that?
I have not seen that.
It came out with one of the versions of the Mike Young Productions DVD sets from back in the day. It's been a while since I've even picked them up, though, so I can't remember enough from what we were supposed to see in Season 3. Other than we were going to finally see Hordak versus Snake Men versus, you know, the Masters versus Skeletors, Evil Warriors. It would have been great, but...
Yeah. Monstrous all-out war. I mean,
yeah. We lost characters though at the end of the second season. Didn't we lose some Masters in the series?
Oh, let's see.
Because if I remember correctly, and it's been a while, I'm sorry, listeners, that it's been a while. We were talking about watching it, but I never got a chance to sit down with it. But you know, I remember characters having been killed, or either people were killed or people were turned to stone forever or something. I can't remember. I want to say that that Man-at-Arms was poisoned, right?
He did get poisoned in one of the episodes. I think it was the one involving Decker, and He-Man gets something that he dives under what, man, I was watching this with the baby a couple weeks ago and I can't.
Okay. You can't remember it either.
But yeah, it was something he got poisoned. But now I know that when we got into the snake mythos and all that stuff's going on with Hiss, we had the snake ring, which, you know, caused everybody to turn into serpents. So we had,
correct,
you know, Snake Tila and you know, all that stuff happening too. So I thought that was cool. We got Snake Man at Arms and,
yeah,
I was trying to think if anybody was actually offed in the series.
I mean, I feel like that some of that happened, but I don't remember it, and it's been such a long time. So, if I'm wrong, y'all don't hate me. I'm sorry. You know, I'm going off of my memories, and my memories are from probably like 2009 or 2010, sitting down and just watching it over and over again with my brother.
You see, I think it's easier to remember the early episodes because you watched them, and I'm this, you know, you as in like everybody, but yeah. You know, we all watched those first ones like over and over again because you couldn't believe that there was a show on again, and correct, anytime it got replayed or you DVR'd it or whatever, and would just watch it again and again, whereas opposed to when you got towards the end of the series, it's like you knew the end was coming, you're kind of down and, you know, not as enthusiastic, and you watch them, you know, you like them, whatever, but you weren't watching them over and over like the first ones, where every time someone would come over, it's like, oh, sit down, you got to watch this. Like, they brought He-Man back, watch this, you know?
That's actually kind of similar to what happened to me. With me, my brother wanted to watch the show, and I was already a big He-Man fan. My little brother's younger than me. So we watched it, and then we go on a road trip, and he's a kid, so he'd be like, can we watch it again? And I'm like, sure, let's watch it again. And of course, we're only watching those first two volumes, or the first volume. So we're just rewatching the same episodes again. And it's like, yeah, let's watch it again. And he's like, oh, can we watch that episode about Prince Adam doing this? And I'm like, sure, why not? Let's watch it. So same kind of way where you watch only the original ones over and over and over again. I think the last season, me and my brother watched together. But it's been a while since the last time he wanted to watch them, even.
I thought of what you were talking about. There are two characters that I can think of that there was some debate over whether they were dead. Webstor was one of them.
Ooh, yeah.
And there was this strange scene with Webstor where he sort of collapses after taking a beating. And so I think that was one. And then was there not a situation, I may be just off and dreaming this up, but I think that Hiss attacked himself and Snake Heads bit into himself. So there was like this, in my mind, the crazy scene where the arms were attacking the body. And I may be way off, but I think that did happen.
That sounds familiar. That's where I think we get our ultimate King Hiss from, where he's got the more than just two snakes as arms, but a couple of extra snakes. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember that. But I still remember, I mean, because that was previous to like episode 39. I know episode 39 was about Serpos, the, you know, the Snake Mountain snake, of course, right before Hordak comes. So, I mean, he was still there. He didn't die yet, at least yet. But,
okay, I found another one. I did look this up. So, Kallax died. Hordak destroys Kallax. When we get the scene with King Grayskull,
that's right.
Hordak is sort of, you know, aggravated with Kallax, and Kallax speaks up, and Hordak just, you know, hey, you don't question my authority, and bam, and he's gone. But yeah, Kallax.
That's right. And Kallax is such a fun figure. When they made him in the classics, I had to buy extra because he is just a great rock character, like a golem character almost.
His skull is amazing.
Yeah, no. It was a good job. The Force Smith did great on that one. Yeah, Kallax is one of those that he's probably one of my favorite new adventure figures that they released, besides maybe like Previs. Previs was also really, really good. But yeah, no. He definitely dies. I remember him dying now. That's been a while. That was in second season. I remember that at least. That was second season. Because I know we didn't watch that multiple times, but I remember that now. Nice. I swear there's other people, though. And I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong, y'all, because if we can't find it on the internet, it must not exist, right?
Well, but, definitely not there if it's not on the internet. But I did see something here that said, had it continued to season three with Hordak's return,
correct,
we had heroes becoming renegades and other plans. So I don't know what exactly that meant. I don't know where the story was going beyond that, but that's an interesting point that was made.
I mean,
I think the plan was, you found out that there was someone driving Hordak and Skeletor both. There was like an optimum evil person, and that was Chef Allen. Chef Allen is the name.
Chef Allen, no!
And then he pulls the mask off, and it's Crackers the Clown. So.
Funneling the powers of Starchild.
Excellent.
Hey, you know what? I could write the next volume of the comic if they would just call me. I've got the story idea, the outline, right here on the show tonight.
I like okay. it.
Okay. Episode 40 was supposed to be called Captured. I have the mini comic I found right here. They released a little mini comic that all the old crew of the old the old comics from the 2000 era did, and it was essentially a what if the series continued for another episode, and you can find it on He-Man.org here, but it looks pretty cool. It came with the Best Buy exclusive. I'm pretty sure I have that somewhere. I'd have to go find it, but I guess it continues the story a little bit.
And what was the name of this? Was 40?
This is episode 40, because they never made episode 40, but there were storyboards for it. And I'm just trying to click on some of the pages here to see what I can kind of spot. But King Hiss is an acid and sheds his skin, you know, like a snake, of course. I don't know. I'm trying to view them all here, and it's hard. Loading.
Yeah, I was trying to scroll through it myself and see what I could find. That's interesting, though, because I've never actually delved into that. So I have to definitely get over to the .org and check that out.
Yeah. That'll be some fun stuff.
Well, I guess the one final question here to wrap things up tonight is okay. We've gotten the He-Man Thundercats crossover that everybody wanted. Well, the idea everybody wanted. I don't think the crossover is exactly working out the
everybody
way.
Wanted a crossover, but
and you know, for years people have talked about what if they did one with like Transformers or something. But what are some other properties that you would hope could cross over with He-Man in one form or another? Maybe something like Voltron or G.I. Joe or Brave Star. Or does anything else kind of jump out at you that would be good for a fun crossover?
Oh. I want Brave Star. Brave Star would be great. I mean, Brave Star with a little bit of a Rio Blast. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, Brave Star was the first thing that popped to mind.
Yeah, as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, yeah.
I also thought of Dark Water. I don't know. Dark Water was kind of interesting. And it was. That's sort of that piratey kind of thing there. It seems like it would fit in somewhat. But I don't know. For me, I don't know that. I don't need the Transformers showing up on Eternia.
No, I don't either.
Really don't. I just I love those properties, and no disrespect to anybody that you know that's their thing. I love those properties too, but I don't know. For me, He-Man, even when he's got the telling of you know being from Earth and half Earthling and that kind of thing, I just really don't even need the Earth tie-in. It's just Eternia is a mythical place and a magical place, and it does its own thing. Now, I did like the DC. I thought it was odd, you know, the cross up with DC and the mashup that they did there, you know, with Superman and that kind of thing. I thought it was intelligently written as far as, you know, we take some of those things that He-Man, you know, has a magical power sword. Therefore, Superman is susceptible to that, and I'm definitely not going to start that argument because folks will go all day on
He-Man.
But you know, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was portrayed well. It was done pretty good for the comics there.
Okay, you're going to hate this one, and I only just thought of it, and it's so awesome sounding.
GoBots. It's GoBots, isn't it?
No, it's not GoBots, but that'd be funny. Okay, Madballs. Motu versus Madballs. There we have it. Mattel, you're welcome. Our DC Comics, please make this happen.
Well, they already made an Optic, right?
Yeah, no, Optic's there. Optic's is the new Galaxy like leader for the Madballs. No, but Madballs were one of those products, just crazy products from the 80s. I'm sure a lot of you probably know what the Madballs are. If you don't, they're balls with just disgusting faces or weird faces or just bizarre looking things on them. And they did a mini they did a comic. Marvel did a comic where they did a crossover between Madballs and some other crazy property that they should never have done.
They just did a Madballs comic last year.
Did they? They're still doing Madball comics, I'm sure of it, because Madballs
there's awesome. A company, it's called Lions Forge Studios, and they're in St. Louis, Missouri. Oh, nice. And they've done comics off of Miami Vice and Airwolf and Knight Rider and Madballs and Night Trap, if you remember that video game. They did a horror comic.
Off the old Sega CD game.
Yeah.
This is great. They are continuing God's work here, okay?
Yes, they are.
Airwolf comic? Seriously? This is great.
So, but anyway, but my thinking for a crossover was one animated special, and I'm going to give you two scenes out of the animated special, but
okay,
once you hear them, I mean, you'll get it. Number one is a conversation between Cringer and Scooby-Doo, and number two is the main event at WrestleMania is John Cena versus He-Man. Boom, animated special right there.
And
that could be theatrical even.
And you know, they've already combined the WWE and Scooby-Doo universe once
Exactly.
before, so they just
Exactly.
got to throw He-Man and a portal and Relay and Skeletor and some Earth
Well, see, you
Kids
just
and
need
make it
some
a
sort
Christmas
of like, look,
special, and it's
Undertaker
done.
and Kane are doing some sort of weird thing backstage, and they accidentally open a portal, and that's what
And
draws through.
Skeletor comes through. And
Exactly.
Skeletor comes
Exactly.
through and Relay with him. It's perfect. $1 billion idea.
It's the scene from the early mini comics when Skeletor is stepping through that portal and bringing others of his kind, they're actually stepping into the WWE universe. That's
But you know
you
what?
just blew
Kane
my
and
mind with
Undertaker, I have to be henchmen for Skeletor. I'm sorry, but
that.
it's a done deal.
Or all the hooded all the hooded cultists that always come out for the Undertaker that are like holding the torches or carrying the coffin out or whatever, they pull back their hoods and it's like Beast Man and Triclops and you know
Or we
like all
just
of
Weaver comes out and we've got a whole ring surrounded by horde wraiths. So you've got everybody's in their hood. It's they're all horde wraiths.
And if it's animated, we can bring back Paul Bear.
Exactly. He's actually Hordak in disguise.
I know. That's perfect.
I mean, it all
This is
works. I've
good.
done the math. I mean, this
This is
all checks
good.
out. This
Absolutely.
is good.
All right.
Combines some
Well,
great things.
we cannot possibly top that. So, before we end the show for finally tonight, let's start with Aaron. You want to throw any shout outs out there? Do any plugs?
Oh, plugs, man. Come see the Waffle Mafia, man. we got three groups: Lucky Legends, Lord of Destruction Waffles, and the most powerful waffles in the universe. A lot of other little cool pages have spun off that. If anybody likes taking toys out of the box, man, this is kind of a crazy one, but a page sprung up off of our page called The Great Unboxing. And so it's just folks going live, doing toy hunts and opening their figures. And so it's just. They kick back. They got something in the mail. Mail call. We open it up, and it goes on during the in the group. So that's
Blasphemous.
it's cool,
Opening their
man. Oh, I
toys.
know they're coming out of their prisons. A lot of
Yeah.
people get upset.
Yeah,
But yeah, that's the only plugs for me, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you guys. It's been cool.
for being here. Since Brian's not here, God.
Not
All right,
blowing
Andrew.
that ozone money.
Andrew, what about your plugs?
I got nothing for tonight. Thank you for having me always, Pop Culture Network. I always enjoy this. And thanks, Aaron, for being here tonight because, you know, if Brian's not going to show up, it's better that we got three of us talking at least. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had a great time. I appreciate you guys.
All right, then I'm going to once again plug popculturenetwork.com. Don't forget you can check out thatnewtoysmell.com, which is the toy department of the Pop Culture Network. Also, make sure you check out the Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page. There's a lot of buy, sell, and trade that goes on there. It's loud, it's okay. So make sure you check that out. Also, shout out to Joe Amato for name dropping Crackers the Clown and Chef Allen during the show. We needed those tidbits of information. That helped us immensely. And everybody out there listening, don't forget we have a 24-hour voicemail line. You can call anytime, day or night. Leave us a voicemail message. It's area code 217-953-4025. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.